Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. Before I jump in, I noticed in the chat room someone pasted part of a quote, I guess, from the Emancipation Proclamation. And I love this part of the Emancipation Proclamation, where it is written that the government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. And of course, the great God Lincoln did not originate that portion of his speech, but he borrowed it. I believe he borrowed it from Wycliffe, one of the early Bible translators, who upon reading and understand the government that God had given the children of Israel in the wilderness, he exclaimed that the government of God was, get it, of the people, by the people, and for the people. God gave us a government that we should govern ourselves. And that government, of course, being self-government, family government, and then civil government, as he gave to Israel in the wilderness. So, borrowed, yes. Let's continue in our study here. We've left off in Titus, Paul, writing to Titus, giving him instruction in exhortation for the mission that he's on, where he's at, being mentored by Paul at one time, but now sent out to do the work of God, receiving this epistle or letter. He says, he continues in chapter 3, verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. And the corporate church loves this one, that we should be subject to man and man's law. And the reason they love man and man's law is because man is a little god. Man and the gods of man are not omnipotent. So whatever man's law doesn't see, if you don't get caught by the eyes of man, well, then there's no punishment. So whatever you can get away with is fine. And not only that, they have benefits by man's law, that they get tax-deductible donations, that protects their position, their salaries, their pension plans and retirement plans and medical plans and all of the benefits, the big fine buildings and all the prestige that comes with having lots of money and large congregations and being officially recognized by the state. So they like that everyone should be subject to the government. And some of them have even twisted the word of God so that they read Romans chapter 13, let every soul be subject to the government. No, it says higher powers. And it says, and let every soul be subject. That means even those in the government are subject to the higher power over them. And there's, and as long as you're a man, in whatever authority structure you're in, whatever power or authority you have, there's always authority over you. And that authority goes up to the highest authority or highest power, which is God himself. So keeping that in mind, he says, be ready to every good work. What do you do when the principalities and powers want you to be ready to bad works, want you to be ready to break the law of God or give you license to break the law of God? Well, I would say then that you are not to obey them in those cases. You are to obey the magistrates, the powers, the principalities, and be subject to them to be ready to every good work. If it's good, if it's according to God's law, because all good things come from God, then we are to be subject. If they call us to the bad work or an evil work, then we are not to be subject. Let's rightly divide. Verse 2, speak evil of no man. And of course, that would be to bear false witness against your neighbor. Let's interpret the word of God with the word of God. Let us speak evil of no man. Let us not bear false witness against our neighbor. Not to be brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. These are the things that we left behind. This is what it means to follow Yahshua, to follow Jesus, to take up the cross, as we lay all these things down. We crucify the deeds of the flesh, and that's what this list is here. This list is the deeds of the flesh that need to be crucified. Foolish. There's a lot of foolishness. A lot of people don't think of their foolishness as disobedient or deeds of the flesh. I'll tell you what foolishness is. Foolishness is American idolatry or American idol. Foolishness is watching men in tights run down a field carrying a ball and getting excited about it. Foolishness. There's a lot more foolishness than that going on. There's a lot more evil foolishness going on too. But foolishness, you get the idea. It's idle. It's idle words are foolish words. Idle time spent idly is foolish. Yes, we need to relax. Yes, we need to rest. Not always watching, you know, a game or watching a movie is idle and foolishness. Sometimes you just need to relax. I understand that. But when it becomes a passion, when you get excited about the scores of men and what men can do, it's all foolishness. None of it lasts. Some men run for a perishable crown. That's foolishness. We run for a crown that is not perishable. We run for a prize that will last forever. Everything else compared to that is foolishness. So there. We ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Paul is being gentle here. Sometimes foolish. Times past foolish. Disobedient. And of course, disobedient to the word of God. Disobedient to the work of repentance that the Holy Spirit is trying to work in our life. Disobedient to the righteousness of Christ. The works that he has foreordained that we might walk into them. Not doing them, being disobedient, spending our time on foolish pursuits instead. Deceived. Yes, I go into a corporate church and I see deceived, 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 deceived. See women sitting around there with their breasts hanging out, their tops, you know, armpits exposed, wearing two tops, their backs all exposed, wearing makeup and adorning themselves like whores. Their husband's afraid to say anything, or perhaps taking pride in how all the men are jealous of the slut that's sitting next to them, how all the men may want what they have, be envious of them, because they're showing off their wife's body, teaching their daughters to be whores and their sons to be whoremongers, and many other such despicable things that you see in the congregation. Disobedient, deceived, yes. Serving diverse lusts and pleasures. Living in malice. Living in malice? Yes. Living in malice. Living a life to acquire whatever they can to themselves or whatever they want to themselves. Giving and taking in marriage, putting away one wife for another, and the husbands, the wives doing the same thing. Because now we have equality. A wife can petition for a divorce and divorce her husband, just as in the law of God, a husband could give her wife a writ of divorce. Didn't need a court for that. There wasn't a whole industry built up around it. But living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another, rather than, of course, they shall know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. The opposite. He's saying these things should not be in the congregation. These are the things that need to be rooted out. He continues, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. So we did all those things. Those are all the things that we leave behind. It says, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. Now we've seen the kindness of God, the love of God, by the work of our Savior, has appeared to us. not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that, being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Do you have that hope? Is that fixed before your eyes? The hope of eternal life through Yahshua, Jesus, the Messiah. Verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Be careful to maintain good works. Don't be careless in your life. Don't allow good works to slip. It means maintain them, that they're an ongoing part of your life. And as you carry on in good works, in doing the work of God, making yourself available to do the work of God. You know, because as I say often, I say, God doesn't need us. He could just snap his fingers, or he could change people in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. But he chooses to work through us. Are you available to him? Because if you make yourself available, if you are careful to maintain good works, then you are careful to make yourself, to continue to make yourself available to him to work through, to exhort, to teach, to preach, to give, to hospitality, and wherever he may use you. These things are good and profitable unto men. So maintaining good works, being careful to maintain good works, rather than being foolish or being careless by being dragged down. Or if we go back to the parable of the sower, how some people, the word of God is sowed in their lives, but then it becomes choked by the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches. That's why we have to be careful to maintain good works. If we're not careful to maintain good works, there are so many things in this world that can choke the word of God in us, and we become unprofitable. Some people get wrapped up in making money. Some people get wrapped up in the opinions of their family, their relatives, the world around them. They get wrapped up in the popular eschatology, or what is acceptable in the world, or the corporate church, pleasing, becoming men pleasers, and leaving off the things of God and the Word of God, being offended. We have to be careful to maintain good works. And that means the opposite. That means to be active in maintaining our good works, maintaining our availability to the Holy Spirit, living a life of obedience. I'll tell you what, if you are not striving to live a life of obedience, yes, I know we cannot be saved by our good works, but we need to strive to live a life that's pleasing to the Heavenly Father. If we are not, we are going to lose it. The cares of this world and the cares of this life will choke us and steal the Word of God out of our hearts and our minds. And we may be deceived that we still hold those things, because the deceiver loves to deceive. And people that allow it to slip, they don't actively maintain those good works, actively live a lifestyle of repentance, actively judge the thoughts and intents of their mind and their heart, judging every thought and every word that comes out of their mouth, taking every thought captive, as the word puts it, and bringing it into obedience to the Word of God. That's what it means to maintain. Let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. And thus Paul ends his instruction, his exhortation, or instruction in exhortation to one Titus. We are going to continue here in a very short book, which immediately follows Titus, and that is Philemon. And so let's go there. And not very long either. It'll be a wonder if we can fill the rest of the hour with it. But I'm guessing that I'll be able to find something to say to fill up the next half hour of the program. So, if you got your e-sword out, you can join me. Okay, well, I'm looking at the chat room here. I guess I can spend a few minutes. It says, Smoke says, Nicholas don't seem to like Lincoln much. Read the whole article, please, if you get a chance. May change your mind. His changed. Read it. And I guess I'll take a look at that, Smoke. Let's see. D. James Kennedy. The most perfect speech ever uttered by mortal men was delivered on the battlefield of Gettysburg. Yeah, I'll read the article, and I don't have time right now to do that. And I'll take a look at it, but we'll see. Many people say that Lincoln was converted after he visited the, the Battle of Gettysburg or sometime at the end before he was, and like I say, I hope that's right. I hope he was. I hate the apotheosis of Lincoln. If I could say that I hate anything, I hate the apotheosis of Lincoln. You say, Nicholas don't seem to like Lincoln much. Well, I don't know the man, didn't know him, but judging by the things that he did and said, I don't like the man. That's right. And I wouldn't say that I hate him. I hope that he truly did repent, but I don't see the repentance in his works. But perhaps, I have heard that others have said that he did repent before he was killed, and I hope they're right. But what I do hate, and I'll say it again, I hate the apotheosis of Lincoln. And that is the making of Lincoln into a god, an object of worship. I hate that because I hate idolatry. And that's what I see in Lincoln. I see idolatry. And many of his defenders, they idolize Lincoln. How could I speak against him? Well, he was a man, and he did some terrible and despicable things. He changed the form of a free nation into a fascist nation, regardless of whether he repented or not, which I hope he did, because I would not want to see my worst enemy burn in hell forever. Though most of them will, and most men will burn in hell forever, because that's what they choose. So if you want to say, I don't seem to like Lincoln much, well, you can say that I hate, quote me on that, I hate the apotheosis of Lincoln. Because I hate idolatry. And I hate that they make a god of this man in the public fool system and in the media. And they change the history. And they write it in such a way that you think that Lincoln did a great thing when he warred on the South to save the Union. And I wrote it to someone else the other day. Yes, the Jesuits groomed Lincoln. They loved Lincoln and supported him as long as he was willing to preserve their power base in Washington, D.C. Maybe Lincoln was a dupe. And perhaps he was. There are a lot of dupes out there. Perhaps Lincoln was a dupe. But he was doing the bidding of Rome. Because Rome wanted him to preserve the power base over the whole United States in Washington, D.C. That is a fact. And the enemies of this nation, they built that power base. That's why they wanted the Constitution, which created that power base.